Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Happy Monday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. We got a great show for you guys today to kick off the week. We got the NFL draft starting on Thursday. We'll look at some of the markets that I like, dive into some more bets for the NFL draft. Obviously, we got the NBA and NHL playoffs in full swing. We'll look at the two NBA games, the four NHL games that we have tonight, and give out some of our favorite plays. We got a great baseball slate as well. We got Patriot Day out in Boston. The White Sox and the Red Sox are underway. We got some more games coming up that we will dive into. Our guy Jake Kassan going to join us here in moments, as will Johnny V, talking some college baseball, and then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, any comments, any best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. You can hit us up at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, on X as well. Send in all your comments that you guys have for us, and hit us up. And if you miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get rolling on a Monday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line and check in with Johnny Venezia, who joins us. Give Johnny a follow on X at underscore Johnny VTV, and make sure you check out the Breaking Bet podcast. All right, Johnny, obviously college baseball, we're getting closer and closer to playoff time, NCAA tournament time. Had some good series this past weekend. Any series that stood out to you, any performances that stood out to you from the past 3 days?
Great to be back, PJ. Yeah, this was a topsy-turvy weekend in the top 25. There's a few teams that stood out to me. Three SEC teams in particular. Texas A&M going down to Arkansas, taking 2 of 3. They did not get great performances from Ryan Prager, Justin Lampkin. Bullpen stepped up. The offense is now humming after Caden Sorrell came back, which is something we talked about earlier in the year. Jace LaValette looks amazing. You have Texas that swept Auburn. Despite the injuries that they have, they keep it rolling, man. Texas is finding a way. No matter who, no matter where, they get it done. And lastly, let's go. I'm rocking the Vandy sweatshirt for the Vandy boys, the home sweeperoo of top five Georgia. Vanderbilt's had some up and down series, PJ, this year, but I'll tell you, man, they sweep Georgia, who has arguably the best offense in the country. Their pitching shut them down. That is impressive, and that deserves a round of applause.
Certainly does. Another team I want to talk to you about, Johnny, that continues to climb. You look at the D1 baseball rankings, perennial team in the college baseball ranks, a great program. Oregon State, they continue to climb. What do you make of the Beavers this season and the way that they're playing right now?
I've had a Jekyll and Hyde feeling about Oregon State this year. Obviously talented, but you know, I feel a little bit top-heavy. Their schedule in a non-conference isn't brutal, but it's not super soft. You know, it's going to be telling for Oregon State. They have Oregon coming up next weekend, and then they have Hawaii the following weekend at Hawaii, which is a tough place to play. So it's going to be very telling. I think the Beavers are a good team. But I think, you know, I echo the same sentiment. If their top five, top six guys don't carry the load for them, then it's going to be tough for them in a tournament format like the College World Series. I think they definitely have enough juice to get there. But depending on how the ancillary guys perform is a question that is going to be left to be seen once it actually happens.
I want to talk to you about some of the mid-major teams in college baseball. You were talking about Western Kentucky last week, how much you like them. Some other teams that are having really good seasons, Coastal Carolina, Southern Miss, we're used to them being pretty good. Troy's having a really good year. UC Irvine as well. Outside of Western Kentucky, Johnny, like any of those mid-majors, UC Irvine, Troy, Southern Miss, Coastal, maybe somebody else that you would keep an eye on, maybe who will be like a 2 or 3 seed come tournament time you think would be pretty dangerous?
I've got to be honest, I think Western Kentucky, Coastal, and UC Irvine are the cream of the crop in the mid-major so far this year. Coastal's big thing this year, they've always been very offensive heavy, always a top team in the country with most major offensive rankings, and it's been fine this year, but their pitching has like come out of nowhere. They have 3 weekend starters with an ERA sub 3.2, and you're thinking, well, it's mid-major baseball, Sun Belt, they should be. Well, Sun Belt's honestly good enough to be a Power 5 conference now. But, you know, Coastal hasn't had pitching like this in a while, and it's kind of crazy to see. And if this keeps up, I think not only they're going to host a regional, but they might have enough juice to make it to Omaha. As for UC Irvine, the starting pitching has been their biggest problem all year. Then I would say about 3 or 4 weeks ago, they switched up the starting rotation, and it's been money putting Riley Kelly in the Friday role. He's been nails. Trevor Hanson in the Saturday role. Complete game shutty against Hawaii this past weekend. He's been nails. They have a good bullpen. Their offense is good. Irvine's a team that's probably going to host. They're probably going to win the Big West, and I think they could win a regional. But when you're a 13 or a 14 seed, and then you ultimately have to go to a top SEC or ACC in the Supers, that's where the, you know, class of the talent really shines, is a differentiator. So I think Irvine's good. I think they'll host, but I don't know if I see them having enough juice to make it to Omaha or even coming close to winning it.
We're talking with our guy Johnny Venezia here on Send It In. Make sure you guys follow Johnny on X at @_JohnnyVTV, host of the Breaking Bet podcast. Johnny, let's dive into the SEC. We know when we're talking college baseball, they are always the premier program. This year is no different. And all they did was add in Texas right now as the number one team in the country, and Oklahoma, who's having a really good year as well. We saw 14 teams in the NCAA tournament college basketball make it to March Madness. I mean, when you look at the SEC in college baseball, how many teams do you think are going to get in potentially to the tournament this year?
It's wild. There's 16 teams. I think realistically 12 are going to make it, maybe 13. You have, you know, Mizzou, South Carolina, who are definitely out. Then I think one of Florida or Mississippi State will end up getting in, most likely. So I would say 13 is doable, but 12, I'd be surprised if they don't have at least 12 in there. I mean, SEC every year is loaded, and you know, even the middle of the pack, bottom of the barrel teams are still competitive for the most part.
Always love asking you, Johnny, on Monday, your futures portfolio, you're constantly adding as we get more and more games out of these teams. The numbers continue to shift as we move into this week. Anything in the futures market that you have your eye on, anything that you've either bet or maybe you're considering betting here moving forward?
I mean, I went back to the well with the Texas teams. Texas was a team I gave out at 40-1 in the first few weeks when it was out there. I just didn't understand it. It made absolutely no sense, and they've done nothing but just win. But now, you know, you're getting 10-1, 11-1, which I actually still think is a good number. They're missing Max Ballou, their best player, who should be a first rounder this year. And once he comes back, you know, they're going to be even better. But I went back again with the Aggies, man. Aggies look good. They finally got hot, and I think their starting pitching is just going to regress back to the mean and being the dominant rotation that they are. But the offense has been the question, and now Jace LaValette is firmly looking like a number one overall pick this summer. Caden Sorrell, amazing. They're getting contributions from so many different sources, and they're hot. They had no confidence the first 6 weeks, but now they go into Tennessee, take 2 of 3. They go into Arkansas, take 2 of 3. They have a couple really tough series coming up to close out the regular season, but man, the Aggies are feeling themselves, and I think even if they don't host, they're going to be a nightmare for anybody that they are in as a 2 or 3 seed in a region. I think the Aggies, and you're getting them at 25-1 on MGM, we've seen them come down aggressively these last 10 days everywhere else. So I would definitely be buying into the Aggies right now.
I mean, you've been on the Aggies since the beginning. They continue to get better and better, so I like both of that. Keep an eye on the Texas teams. Johnny, before I let you go, Golden Spikes market. You've been talking about how wide open it is this year. Really, nobody's taking grasp of the award? How would you break down Golden Spikes right now?
It's a complete disaster. It's not like last year where Charlie Condon was running away and it really wasn't a consideration for more than one or two other guys. But this year it is truly wide open. I think Justin LeBron, who's maybe a 1-1 pick next year, he's fallen off big time. Jared Jones from LSU is falling off. Gavin Killen's still in the mix for Tennessee. But I got to be honest, it's time maybe to go a little bit down the board. Lavalette at 22-1 is something that I would look at because he could still realistically finish with 30 home runs and maybe even a 350, 360 average if he stays hot. But I got to be honest with you, Peach. The guy that's really interesting to me but nobody knows about because he plays at Oregon and Oregon's rarely covered, you have to subscribe to the Big Ten Plus to watch them, Mason Neville. Their center fielder has 19 home runs, batting 330. He is soaring up draft boards right now. I don't think it's a first-round grade on him, but he might be able to get himself into the early mid-second if he keeps this going. And Oregon likely to host a regional, maybe even a super regional. And if they make it to Omaha, this kid's going to have a chance to belt 30 home runs and possibly lead the league. And he's out there at 45-1 right now. I think Mason Neville should be closer to 20-1, considering the production he has and how wide open this market is. And you know I gave out the preseason requisites for the Golden Spikes. Yep. I think realistically this year it might get thrown out the window because nobody is taking charge. So we might see somebody that's not a first-rounder, somebody that's an underclassman, somebody that honestly just would not win in a normal year, maybe step up and take this award and grab it by the horns.
Super interesting. I like the Mason Neville call at Oregon. Nobody better talking college baseball with than Johnny Venezia. Give him a follow on X at @JohnnyVTV, host of the Breaking Bet podcast. Johnny, always appreciate the time, sir. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Peach.
Absolutely. All right, guys, let's continue talking baseball here on Send It In. From the college ranks, we look at the pros and little big league Peach as we look at today's Major League Baseball slate. We got one game off and running so far today. It's Patriot Day out in Boston. You got the Boston Marathon. They start at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Red Sox up 4-2 on the White Sox right now in the bottom of the eighth inning. If you like the White Sox to come back and win in the top of the ninth, they're 19-1 to come back and win that game. Then coming up, we got Yankees and Guardians at 6:10 p.m. Eastern Time with a total of 8.5. Clark Schmidt going up against Gavin Williams. No play for me in this game. Gavin Williams so far has made 4 starts in the year. 3 of them have been on the road. Hasn't fared particularly great on the road. He's normally a better pitcher at home, but the only start he made at home this year was against the White Sox, so it's not really a good tell of what to expect tonight. Coming off a performance against the Orioles where he gave up 5 earned runs. Then on the flip side, you have Clark Schmidt making his 2nd start of the season. Just a lot of unknown for me in the pitching matchup today between Schmidt and Gavin Williams, so I'm staying away in Guardians and Yankees. Then we have the Padres. After a tough series against Houston, they head to Detroit to take on the Tigers right now, are leading the AL Central. You have Randy Vasquez going for San Diego against Keiter Montero going for the Tigers. Montero has a 9.00 ERA for the Tigers. Going up against Vasquez was a sub-3 ERA for the Padres, and yet here we are with Detroit as a -140 favorite on the money line. Keep in mind, tough little travel spot for San Diego, playing Sunday Night Baseball last night against Houston. Have to get on a plane, take a red eye to Detroit, and play the Tigers, a good Tigers team at home in Detroit. I think it's a tough spot for San Diego. So even though Montero has not been great so far this season, I like Detroit at -140. Reds and Marlins tonight in Miami. Nick Lodolo going for the Reds. Max Meyer going for the Marlins. The Reds a -125 favorite in Miami. The Marlins are +105 on the money line. Two pitchers that have been very good so far this season. Lodolo's been excellent for the Reds. Max Meyer been very good for the Marlins. Both of these pitchers have an ERA under 3, and I'm kind of going with the under tonight, under 8 runs. The Reds beat the Orioles 24-2 yesterday. They scored 24 runs in that game. If any of us know anything about baseball, right, wouldn't it just be so baseball for the Reds to come back the following day and put up like 1 run on the scoreboard today, and they're going up against the best pitcher for the Marlins outside of Sandy Alcantara. Max Meyer is having a good year, as I was mentioning. I like the under 8 today in Reds and Marlins. Phillies and Mets start a three-game series in Citi Field. Should be a really good one. In the NL East, you got Aaron Nola going for the Phillies, who struggled mightily so far this season. 0-4 with an ERA over 6. Going up against Tyler McGill, who's been very good so far for the Mets. I like the Phillies tonight in Game 1 at plus 105. I think this is a nice buy-low spot here on Aaron Nola. Again, who has not been good so far this season for the Phillies, but I think this is a time to buy low. And look at what the line's telling you, right? The Mets are at home. They have the better record. They have the better pitcher on the mound so far this season, yet they're only a minus 125. I think odds makers are expecting a little positive regression from Aaron Nola as well. I think he pitches well. I think the Mets win, or the Phillies win the game over the Mets. I like Philadelphia plus 105. Cardinals and Braves tonight in Atlanta. The Braves are minus 190. Cardinals plus 155. The total is 8.5. You've Spencer Schwellenbach on the mound for the Braves. Has been awesome this year going up against Eric Fetty for the Cardinals. Give me the over in the game, 8.5. I'd look at a Braves team total over as well. Maybe take some alts like over 5.5, 6.5, 7.5, because Eric Fetty's history against this Braves lineup is not good at all. The Braves have dominated Fetty, including Marcell Ozuna, who's 7-for-12 against him in his career. I expect the Braves offense put up some big numbers tonight. Good pitching matchup in Houston. Hunter Brown going for the Strohs. Kevin Gausman going for the Blue Jays. Total of 7.5. Houston a minus 140 favorite. I'm going with the first five under 4 runs in this game. Again, good pitching matchup. Houston played Sunday Night Baseball last night. Blue Jays played at home against Seattle. They have a little bit of a travel going down south to Houston, so I think a little bit of a sluggish start for both lineups going up against two very good pitchers. Give me the first five under in that game. Then finally, Brewers and Giants out in San Francisco. Robbie Ray going up against Quinn Priester. And Priester, in two starts with the Brewers, has been terrific. Only given up one run in 10 innings pitched. He's a plus 118 underdog today going up against Robbie Ray, who's 3-0 on the season. Giants, we know, are a tough team to beat at home, at night. I like the Giants minus 140. All right, let's talk some playoffs, right? Playoff Peach. We got playoff NBA basketball, playoff Stanley Cup hockey. Great time of year. Two NBA playoff games tonight. We'll start with the Knicks and the Pistons. New York is a 6.5-point favorite tonight against Detroit with a total of 221.5. The Knicks obviously took game one. They lead the series 1-0. The spread is the same as what it was in game one. And I'm taking the Knicks again. I'm laying the 6.5 against New York. Pistons did a lot of good things in game one. They were up double digits late in the third quarter. The Knicks had to go on a 21-0 run in the fourth to win that game. But obviously, both teams are going to adjust. And this is when we talk about playoff experience and playoff pedigree and all these sorts of things. You saw it in game one, how the Pistons crumbled in that fourth quarter when things didn't start to go their way. I trust the Knicks more tonight at home to make the better adjustments. I'll take New York -6.5 against the Pistons. Couple player props that I would look at. Jalen Brunson over 6.5 assists for the Knicks. He had 8 in game one. Gotta lay the juice at minus 140, but I think it's worth it. Brunson took a lot of contact in game one. He hit the floor a bunch, a lot of hard a lot of times, and that's how he just plays, and that's what it's going to be like in the postseason. But I think the Pistons are really going to force some other guys to try and beat him tonight, especially Mikal Bridges. So I would look at Brunson to be more a facilitator. I like his over assists. I also like Dennis Schroeder over 8.5 points tonight for the Pistons. Played 26 minutes in game one, had 8 points on 3 of 8 shooting. When Schroeder comes off the bench, they're looking for instant offense out of him and Malik Beasley. They're looking for a spark for that second unit. Again, I think Schroeder's going to play about 25 minutes tonight. I would expect anywhere from like 7 to 10 shot attempts. Think he can get us to double digits. I'll go over 8.5 points on Dennis Schroeder. Then we have the Clippers and Nuggets. Game 2 of this series. Denver winning in overtime, 112-110 in game 1. Total is 218.5. Give me Kawhi Leonard over 24.5 points. There's two props I like tonight regarding Kawhi Leonard. The points are the first one. 9-for-15 from the field in game one. 22 points. Played 41 minutes in that overtime game. Kawhi looks healthy. He looks really good. As good as he looks probably in the last 3 or 4 years or so. And I think the Clippers, look, as good as James Harden has been for you this season and as great of a scorer as he is, when it gets to crunch time and the final 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, get the ball to Kawhi Leonard. The Clippers should have won game one. They look like the better team. They have the better coach in Ty Lue. I expect them to make the proper adjustments. I expect Kawhi to have more than 15 shot attempts, probably something north of 20 in this game. So give me over 24.5 points for Kawhi. I think there's a good chance he goes for 30 or more tonight. And then also give me over 6.5 rebounds for Kawhi as well. Somebody's got to help out Zubac down low with the rebounding. That was really one of the big storylines of game one. How many late offensive rebounds Denver got to extend those possessions, whether it was Jokic, Russell Westbrook had a ton of tip-outs, Aaron Gordon. There were some big offensive rebounds late in that game. Clippers need to do a much better job on the defensive glass. I think that'll be a priority out of Kawhi tonight, not only to score a little bit more, but also rebound a little bit more. So we'll go over on points and rebounds for Kawhi Leonard tonight against the Nuggets. As for the NHL playoffs, we got the Canadiens and the Capitals tonight starting game one of their series. Makes me a little nervous as a Caps fan, the fact that we have not had an underdog win yet on the money line so far in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And we know usually the dogs tend to be barking in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And the Caps certainly are a franchise here in the Ovechkin era that have disappointed as a favorite. I'm a little bit worried. Logan Thompson, their goalie, has been really good for them this season. Looks like he's going to play in game one. But this is the playoffs. He's probably going to have to shake off a little bit of rust. I kind of like the over in this game. Caps, one of the best offensive teams in hockey. We're second in goals per game, trailing Tampa. So I think they're going to be able to score. And I think the Canadiens going up against a shaky goalie in Thompson who might have to work off some rust. I like over six in Caps and Canadiens. Jets and Blues, game two of their series. Blues, the hottest team in hockey right now, had a great chance of winning game one. They were up 3-2 in the third period in Winnipeg. I expect another close game tonight. Ultimately, I'm staying away. Probably would lean Winnipeg, though. But maybe hope that the Blues get up early, get another nice live number on the Jets. Avalanche and Stars, game two of their series. I really like the Stars in game one. Didn't come through. I'm coming right back with them in game two of this series. A lot of great opportunities that they just weren't able to convert in game one. Mackenzie Blackwood is fantastic. The Avalanche had a couple of fluke goals off the skate, off the shoulder, a bunch of just one of those types of games for Dallas. I think they get better fortune tonight. Give me the Stars at plus 120. And then give me the LA Kings minus 125 tonight against the Oilers. Fourth year in a row, these teams are meeting in the playoffs. I think the Kings finally get the job done against Edmonton in this series. And I think it starts tonight with a game one victory. Give me the Kings minus 125. All right, a promo from our friends at BetMGM, an NHL playoff odds boost token. You can join the rush this season with a Stanley Cup playoff odds boost token. Use your token to get a bigger payout on a winning playoff bet. So make sure you take advantage of that. All right, let's talk some NFL draft bets here on Send It In before we get into our guy, Jake Hassan. And look, the NFL draft coming up on Thursday. We went through all 32 of the teams. If you want to go back and listen to the Send It In podcast and who I think these teams are going to draft with their first position, what position they're going to draft with their first pick in the upcoming NFL draft. Now we'll just look at a couple markets that I thought were really, really interesting. The first one is Ashton Jeanty. Where is he going to go, right? We have seen the last couple days the number 5 overall pick market held by Jacksonville. We thought for a while it was going to be Mason Graham, the defensive tackle out of Michigan. His odds have diminished. Jeanty's odds have gotten closer to even money. And now it looks kind of like a coin flip. What Jacksonville's going to do between Mason Graham or Ashton Jeanty. Adam Schefter came out this morning and said that they have a good shot potentially of trading back, does Jacksonville. So to me, this is really where the draft starts. You look at the top 4 picks in the draft, Cam Ward to Tennessee, Travis Hunter to Cleveland, Abdul Carter to the Giants, and now Will Campbell to the Patriots. Those top 4 kind of look like that's what it's going to be. And then it would appear the draft is going to start at number 5. I still think the Jags are going with either Mason Graham or they're going to go with an offensive lineman. To me, you have Travis Etienne there. I get Liam Cohen was in Tampa, and they did a good job rotating running backs. And he obviously, to have a playmaker like Jeanty at running back to go along with Brian Thomas on the outside would do wonders for Trevor Lawrence. But they also really need to improve the defense. When the general manager for Jacksonville, James Gladstone, took over, he talked about improving the trenches, getting better up front. They signed 3 linemen in the offseason to take care of that side of the ball. Now I think they address the defensive side and go with Mason Graham. So So for the team that's going to draft Ashton Jeanty, I would not look at the Jags at plus 200. I don't think he goes to the Bears at plus 360 either. I think Ashton Jeanty is Las Vegas Raider. I like him at minus 110. Chip Kelly's the new OC. Pete Carroll's the new head coach. Think LeSean McCoy. Think Marshawn Lynch. Both of those guys know what it means to have really good running backs, what that does to your offense. Keep in mind, too, the Raiders have a different front office now. John Spytek comes in from Tampa. Tom Brady's going to be in the war room making decisions. This isn't the old Las Vegas Raiders that just throws dartboards or they kind of surprise us all with what they're going to do. This is going to be a solid, well-thought-out, methodical pick, and I think it's going to be Ashton Jeanty out of Boise. So I like him to go to the Raiders at minus 110. As for Shedeur Sanders, what's going to happen with him? He's the heavy favorite to go to the Saints at plus 160, followed by the Browns at plus 250, Steelers plus 350, and the Giants at plus 400. I think Shedeur is probably going to end up being a Steeler at plus 350. I would either bet that, or I would bet the Giants at plus 400, thinking that New York could either trade into the back half of the first round, or they just wait for their early pick in the second round. I don't think the Saints are going with Shedeur at number 9. I think they're either getting an offensive tackle. I think they're getting a defensive player. Just don't think at this point they're going to get Shedeur. Now, they certainly could trade back as well. They could trade back from 9 and end up getting Shedeur, but I don't really want to bet into that theoretical happen. I would rather bet into him sliding all the way to the Steelers at 21 or the Giants trading back in to the first round or getting him in the second round and him being the quarterback. So I like Pittsburgh plus 350 or the Giants at plus 400. Speaking of the quarterbacks, a bet on BetMGM that has since moved since we talked about it last week. Over under 2.5 quarterbacks being selected. The over is minus 285. The under is plus 210. This was plus 310 on Friday. It has since moved. And I think for good reason, Jackson Dart is no longer attending the NFL draft. Would make you think he's probably gotten enough word from teams that he's not going to be taken high in the draft. So it's looking like Cam Ward and it's looking like Shedeur Sanders for me. I think both of those guys are going to be the only first-round quarterbacks taken. So I like under plus 210, under 2.5 quarterbacks taken in the first round at plus 210 over at BetMGM. All right, let's get to our guy now, Jake Hassan. Little crosstalk here on Send It In. Jake, of course, the host of Bet Slips and Bat Flips, which you can catch right here on the BetMGM Network, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Coming up in about 4.5 minutes. Jake, can't wait for this Mets and Phillies series. It is going to be awesome. When it's all said and done, come late Wednesday night, who do you think wins the series, New York or Philadelphia?
I'm going to stick to my guns, PJ. I'm going to stick to what I've been saying the entire year thus far. I'm going to go with the Phillies here. I think it gets off to a rocky start tonight with Aaron Nola because he's been tough and rough to watch this year, but I do think the Phillies come away with the series win.
Can't wait to watch it. Jake, Yankees and Tigers right now, both minus money to win their respective divisions. The Yankees in the AL East, the Tigers in the AL Central, Yanks minus 105, Detroit minus 115. At this point, which team would you be more confident wins their division, New York or Detroit?
I think it has to be the Yankees, right? Just because they have the minus 300 favorite for AL MVP, and the AL Central is just a crapshoot. So I think it has to be the Yankees, especially with Max Fried pitching the way that he is lately. But I think it's the Yankees by just a hair.
All right, very good. Jake, tell us what you have coming up on the show today for Bet Slips and Bat Flips.
Smaller slate of games, obviously, just a handful of them tonight. Obviously, we have White Sox, Red Sox going right now, but a small slate today, so we're going to get into a lot of awards, a lot of Rookie of the Year talk today, PJ, because we had a couple call-ups over the weekend, and I need to yell about Jack Caglione still being at AA for a little bit.
Yeah, all right, looking forward to that coming up in 3 minutes. Make sure you guys tune in to Bet Slips and Bat Flips. Our guy Jake Hassan, nobody better to listen to talking baseball than Jake the Snake. Jake, have a great show, pal. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you, PJ. Love you.
Love you too, pal. All right, guys, wrap of the show. PJ's plays here on Send It In. Let's get a little going streaking going, and let's go with our guy, Marcell Ozuna. I told you guys, Eric Fetty in his career against this Braves lineup has some terrible numbers. There's a lot of hitters in that Braves order that have dominated Fetty throughout their careers. Ozuna, probably the biggest one, 7 for 12. That's a 583 batting average. He's going to be our play today in going streaking. Prop lock is going to be Dennis Schroeder, over 8.5 points tonight for the Pistons, going up against the Knicks in game two. Schroeder finished with 8 points in game one. He played 26 minutes. I would expect about the same amount of minutes for Schroeder in game two, probably about 25 type minutes. And look, Schroeder throughout his career, he's been a journeyman. He's bounced around to a bunch of different teams. But the reason he stayed in the league so long is because what a professional scorer he is, kind of gives you that instant boost off the bench. I think he goes for double digits tonight. So we'll take Schroeder over 8.5 points. My dog of the day is going to be the Phillies, plus 105 against the Mets. I agree with Jake. I think they win the series. But give me Aaron Nola tonight. I know he has not been good to start the year, 0-4 with an ERA over 6. But I think he's going to pitch well tonight against the Mets, a lineup that has certainly been up and down this season. Line feels a little short to me. It feels like odds makers think Nola's going to pitch pretty well tonight, and I'm in agreement with them. Give me the Phils at plus 105. And then my best bet tonight, give me the Clippers on the money line, minus 118 against the Nuggets. I think the Clips are going to tie up this series. They should have won game one. They look like the better team. We all know that these series are all about adjustments, and the Clippers, this is their big advantage, having Ty Lue opposed to David Adelman, who's coaching in his fifth NBA game tonight for the Denver Nuggets. So more Kawhi Leonard, less James Harden down the stretch. Give me the Clippers on the money line against the Nuggets. So once again, that's our best bet. Phillies dog of the day, Dennis Schroeder prop lock over 8.5 points, and Marcell Ozuna is going to be our play in going streaking. Thanks again to Johnny V, Jake Kassan for joining us today on the show. Have a great rest of your Monday, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.